This is WDET, FM 101.9, Detroit Public Radio. The program is Detroit Today. I'm Craig Folley. Glad you could join us today. And we're very pleased to have in studio with us today Doreen O'Brien. She's a fiction writer and also a teacher of creative writing at the College for Creative Studies and here at Wayne State University. She has a new book. It's called Voices of the Lost and Found, put out by Wayne State University Press. And it's a collection of short stories as part of the Made in Michigan Writers series that Wayne State University Press has out there. First of all, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Craig. I'm happy to be here.
Well, you know, short stories, I always like it because I can get a good grasp of the writer in a relatively short period of time. And in this job, sometimes it's difficult for me to get all the way through books. But short stories capture the attention. You don't have a lot of time to get to the point and get somebody roped in. And the first story in this collection is called Oven Birds. And I'll tell you what, second paragraph, I was hooked. Because it's a story about a woman who was abducted, and she was probably a teenager at the time. That's never made exactly clear, but it's told from her point of view further down the road, remembering this experience. And my question for you is, writing about a subject like that, how does one get there?
You know, that story has... When I wrote that story, I'd never anticipated the kind of attention that it would get, you know, locally, nationally, and my own mother... with whom I lived my entire life, actually said to me, did something like this ever happen to you? And I said, Mom, did I ever disappear for 29 days, you know, when I was, how did that happen? Actually, the catalyst for that story was a nightmare I'd had as a very young child. I'd been abducted, nothing like the story. All I remember about the nightmare is being in this car with this man and being unable to say anything, even though when you wake up, you say, why didn't you jump out of the car? Why didn't you yell? Why didn't you... And I started to think a lot about how the mentality that would bring someone to that place. And I started to think about this girl, and she always stayed with me. And I thought, if I don't write about her, she'll be with me forever. So one day I just sat down and started writing. And the writing for that story actually came quite easily. And I think it's because unconsciously I'd thought about it for so long.
Well, you know, we can give away a little bit of the story.
Sure.
In that, you know, it is pretty clear that she survived this ordeal in the very beginning, and at one point she does just walk away. She's sitting in a parking lot at a grocery store, and she just walks away. But it took her a long time to get to that point. I mean, to the point where this abductor trusted her almost to stay. It's like he thought he had broken her will to such an extent that she just would be obedient and not dare leave.
And he had, actually, to my thinking, he had. The reason she got up and left wasn't because she wanted to go back home or she wanted to get away from this monster, but because she thought he'd abandoned her. And even though she'd only been in the car 10 minutes, she had lost all sense of time being in this cabin. Night and day ran together, and there was so little movement. She really had lost, she was very disoriented. She lost her sense of time, and she thought he had left her, which is why she got up and left, which I think is one of the most tragic parts of the story.
Well, and it is truly a tragic story in that, you know, at some point she just, again, forgets who she is almost, just forgets every aspect of her life except for this sort of strange and bleak existence that she has. But at some point the light bulb goes off that there's more there than is going on. And I think it's the part in the story where another woman comes in and is actually kicking and screaming. He's abducted another woman. She doesn't see what happens to her, but she knows what happens to her. And all of a sudden, she comes to the realization that if I was older, that would be me.
Yes.
But this is a story that really echoes a lot of personal tales of people who have been abducted. Did you do a lot of research looking into the sort of the psychology of being abducted and starting to identify with one's captor when you wrote this?
I actually didn't. Oddly, I did a lot more research on the Catskills and what kind of fauna, you know, and wildlife lived there. And I think that I thought about it for so long, as I said, unconsciously. And then as I wrote the story, I started to imagine what it would have been like. And it was horrifying. And I'm glad you asked that question, because I think all of us, if we allow ourselves to think of what it might be like to go to these very deep, dark places, we can imagine. There is, I truly believe, this kind of collective unconscious where we understand this kind of pain and grief and horrible things people can do to one another, because we have to admit to ourselves that sometime we are capable of doing horrible things as human beings, as well as wonderful things. So I think, and having a daughter made a difference. Imagining these things happening to her helped me. So I didn't research how other people felt, because I think we all know, if we allow ourselves to go to those places, how that would feel.
Well, and I think for me, the most poignant part about it was when she comes to the realization that she has no idea and never will really understand just how much she may have missed, or how her life has been affected by this. And that there's no way, that there's always going to be sort of this void of not knowing.
Absolutely. Who would she have otherwise been? You know, she wonders, would I have been even worse? You know, there's this rationale that says, you know, maybe this, in the grand scheme of things, this was meant to happen to me. At one point, she blames herself. You know, maybe I was this montage of attributes that generated in him this undeniable need to hurt me. There's all these ways of trying to figure out why these things happen to us. Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I would have been worse if it didn't happen. But at the end of the day, just as you said, she says, well, I don't know what I would have been. There's no way I can possibly know what would have ever happened to me if I had lived a normal, unabducted life.
Well, you talk about dark places, and that's interesting, because a lot of these stories in this book take us to dark places, bad situations. Is it easier to write about that than it is to come up with something that's a little bit more surrounded by perhaps beauty and happiness?
For me, it is. I can't say that for everyone. I think it's because, you know, the essayist Montaigne said happiness writes white. And I'm very interested in the darks and the blacks and the grays, because I think life is complicated. We have wonderful moments. We have very dark moments and everything in between. I love writers who write comedy. I think it's very difficult. I appreciate it. If a writer can make me laugh out loud, I adore him or her. But I think the stories that resonate most with me and always have are the dark, gritty, complex stories, because they tell me, in a world that is so difficult to navigate sometimes, that I'm not alone. I'm not the only one who has felt perhaps suicidal, angry, in a rage. And so those are the things I like to explore in my characters. And I don't think I write comedy very well. I've tried. But that's just not where my head is at.
Well, but in your characters, though, there's a wide range of people. Of course, there is the teen girl who has been abducted in one instance. There's another one where there's a couple of sort of bumbling crooks on the run. Another story where you have, you know, a guy who's a tagger, a graffiti artist. Talk about that wide range of characters and how you sort of develop who you want to write about.
When I become interested in something, the tagger story, for instance, I became very interested in graffiti art after seeing a special on PBS, a special on 56, about tagging, and I did a lot of research. I didn't realize there was such an underground network of taggers, that people from Detroit and LA and Chicago and Philly, they actually travel, and it's city art, it's urban landscape art. They're in communication with each other. There are I won't call them gangs, because they don't do what we stereotypically think gangs do. They tag in groups and in crews and in gangs. This became very interesting to me, so I started driving around Detroit and wondering what would it be like. That wasn't enough for a story. I didn't think just because I was interested in tagging people would be. So I thought, what happens to a nice young man who is thrown into a very difficult crucible? You know, how does he come out of that? And I think when you take this nice kid in this story, you put him in this bad situation, you surround him by some bad characters, this is how delinquents are made. And this is how our friend in the story, who we're rooting for the whole way, and I'm giving some stuff away at the end, becomes what you might, someone you read about in a paper and have no sympathy for. We don't know the story that brought him to this place.
Well, and that seems to be, you know, sort of the MO that you like to employ, that there are people who get caught up with bad people around them and find themselves in these situations that they had no part in necessarily, just through circumstance, here we are, and finding a way through that.
Bad decisions have consequences.
Yeah. But the thing is, looking at you, you know, I'm not trying to make any judgments, but you look like a well-adjusted, typical person here that might be teaching on campus. You know, when you write this stuff, does it change you a little bit?
I think that in some fundamental ways it has changed me, in that I've become a little more sympathetic. I've become a little less judgmental. I understand that every single person, you know, whether you're a rich banker or a poor graffiti artist who lives in Detroit, and or a urban mother who's been abducted, you're someone who is important. There's a story you have to tell.
I understand. It's just sort of not really the underdog almost. I mean, but, you know, you find yourself relating to people. Do you think that most people think the way that you do about some of these folks, or are they just looking past it and saying, you know, this person was involved in that, they're not willing to look deeper and find out what the circumstances were?
I think a lot of people don't look deeper. That bothers me. I think that a lot of people kind of live this, especially in our nation. We're very wealthy. We're very privileged. There's a sense of entitlement. A lot of people are just kind of skimming over the surface and saying, well, I'm going to watch Lost tonight or American Idol, and I'm going to, you know, go out to my favorite restaurant. And I don't mean to sound judgmental, but I'm not interested in those people who appear well-adjusted and who believe they are well-adjusted and who don't think more deeply about these things. I am interested in telling people that these complex lives are worth talking about, these people who perhaps aren't privileged, who've been through horrible things. They have something to say to us, and that's what's spoken to me. As I read over the years, I became an avid reader. The authors that spoke to me about these things that were meaningful, I wanted to do the same thing. And so I thought, well, I can write about, you know, suburban wealthy housewives whose lives are pretty easy. That's very boring to me. Even someone like Paris Hilton, who her life isn't boring, but in a way it is. I mean, her drama is so high, it's flatlined, it's at such a high level, it doesn't interest me anymore. I'm much more interested in these complex characters who kind of live on the fringe of society. You know, the woman who's been abducted, for example, this, many people have had bad experiences. You see them in your everyday life. You don't know what's happened. They don't talk about it. You know, they suffer silently. And I thought, these are the types of experiences I want to bring out so people see that everyone around them is more complex than just that person walking around in a suit, walking around in a janitor's uniform, you know, walking around in a nurse's uniform.
We're speaking with Doreen O'Brien. She's the author of Voices of the Lost and Found, a new collection of short stories put out by Wayne State University Press. She also is a teacher, adjunct professor of creative writing at the College for Creative Studies and here at Wayne State University. And Doreen, I want to ask quickly about the short story format. Any one of these stories, if you wanted to, has enough there that they could be developed into a novel. Is that, why do you prefer this format as opposed to taking one of these stories and stretching it?
Well, I think I've been writing in the short story format for so long, that's one of the reasons I have the preference. There's also this sense of euphoria when you finish a story, even though it may need revision, it may need redrafting, and you may have not sold it. There's a sense of euphoria that it's done that doesn't come with the novel. I am in the process of writing a novel now simply because the market demands it. Short story collections do not sell the way novels do. And inevitably, you know, agents who have read the book or who have read my stories published in journals will contact me and say, are you working on a novel? You know, we'd like to agent you if you have a novel. And that's because the big publishers sell novels. That's how they make their money. You had mentioned earlier that you love the short story because you can find out very quickly if this is an author whose work you'll like. You can get immersed in the experience pretty quickly. And I agree with that entirely, that, you know, no other medium except perhaps poetry can give you a complete, complex artistic experience in a 15-minute sitting. And so I think because publishers are so accustomed to making money on novels, there's this institutional lag. They really don't push short story collections the way I think that they could and that they should. I personally like the form because I think there's an economy of words. It's more challenging than even the novel has been to me. The novel's been challenging in that I'm not as eager to get back to it. But as far as the writing, there's so much room for meandering in a novel. Characters can say things that perhaps are not absolutely pertinent to the plot. This can't be done in a short story. So I love the challenge. And when it's done and you've succeeded, there really is this great sense of closure and completeness that's not really coming even at the end of the chapters of the novel I'm writing.
At the same time, it seems that character development is much more difficult in the short story form to actually get us to care.
Yeah.
About this person in a story is, it's a skill, frankly, because you only have, you know, 15, 20 pages in which to get that done.
I think the white space, if you can charge the white space as much as you've charged the dark space, where you've hinted to things and you let the readers bring things to the story, that's the challenge and the success of short stories that really are work that balance well. You can't, if you give the reader every a piece of information about the character, then you've written a novel. If you can hint to things and let the reader become, you know, collude with you in the making of meaning, you've written a very successful and a very economic short story.
So are you suggesting that we as readers have to work a little bit harder in this genre?
I think when you, perhaps when you read my stories or what's called literary short stories, yes, not so perhaps in genre work like short fiction, science fiction stories or westerns or romance stories, but I think in literary fiction, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's work that is worth doing. The book is Voices of the Lost and Found. Doreen O'Brien is the author, and she joined us here on Detroit Today. Doreen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Craig.